The U.S. Senate impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump resumes this morning as Trump's attorneys begin arguing their case. You can hear live NPR coverage starting at 11 on the NPR News and Music Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, also online at WPR.org. And do stay tuned. We'll brief you on what to expect today when we get the latest on the impeachment trial after 8. But now it's time for Wisconsin Life. This month marks the program's 10th anniversary on Wisconsin Public Radio. As part of the celebration, here's Wisconsin Life's co-founder, Anne Strainchamps, reflecting on one of her favorite stories.
From the beginning, Wisconsin Life was an experiment in rethinking what we call news. Because beyond the breaking stories and big events shaping our time, life as we actually live it unfolds on a smaller, slower, more intimate scale. What if, we wondered, alongside the headlines, we also brought you news of the everyday? What would it be like to document changing seasons, conversations with neighbors, local lore? Here's one example. An early spring day in 2012. Two young women meet to gather wild watercress in the Driftless region. The creek is swollen with snowmelt. You can hear water gurgling, songbirds overhead, the sound of scissors snipping fresh greens, a timeless ritual, and a moment in time. Meet chef and forager Danny Lind and producer Erica Janik.
There's a spring. Oh, there's a spring right there, coming out of the side of the hill. See?
Yeah.
And all that watercress over there. That would be the good patch to get. There's some watercress.
Oh, yeah.
It grows all year round. It's a perennial. And in really protected spots, you can harvest it all winter if it's a spring that stays open. Summertime is generally not the best time. It doesn't like the heat. It'll get kind of yellow and it'll bolt, have little flowers on it, and it'll get super spicy and kind of bitter.
So you just snip off the tops?
Yep, snip off the tops. You never want to pull it out unless you're trying to thin out the patch a lot, but if you're someplace where you're wildcrafting it, it's definitely the considerate and responsible thing to do to leave the roots in the ground so they can just grow right back. Watercress isn't native to the U.S., but it's so naturalized that it just about might as well be. When people would come west, they would bring a little bit with them and plant it, and it pretty much just took over after that. A lot of the creeks around here are pretty darn clean. Streams that are good trout streams are good indicators of a pretty clean creek. There's a trout.
Wow.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them.
It moves so fast.
They're little babies.
I've never seen a fish move so fast.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do with watercress?
You know, this time of year, I really just having a little pile of it on the side of my plate, just about no matter what I'm eating. But it's really good in salads. It's really great in sandwiches. It's really awesome. Put in an omelet, just like right when you're almost done cooking the omelet, just set in there and fold it over and it just barely wilts. That's really good. You can make watercress soup just with onions and potatoes and a little bit of milk or cream. I mean, it's one of the most concentrated sources of nutrition you can find. That's probably more watercress than we can eat today, huh?
It is quite a bit. I'm going on a strictly watercress diet.
You'd be so healthy. We could start the new trend, the new detox watercress diet. Move over grapefruit diet. Move over maple syrup lemon juice cleanse. I'd much rather eat watercress.
Watercress sandwiches for lunch.
Wisconsin Life Stories. They're evergreen. That was Erica Janik and Danny Lind on a timeless spring morning in 2012. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. You can find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Ann Strainchamps.
You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Molly Stentz. Stories. We're hardwired as humans to tell stories. It's how we relate to one another. The writer Dorothy Allison once said, two or three things I know for sure, and one of them is that to go on living, I have to tell stories. Stories are the one sure way I know to touch the heart and change the world. Each week on our airwaves, if you're lucky, you catch these four-minute vignettes told by people around the state. Sometimes they're funny. When we hear a mom desperate to find a few moments of peace hiding in the bathroom, I mean, who among us cannot relate? Sometimes you learn things like why we love brandy in our old fashions and how people are keeping old ice harvesting traditions alive. But always, they root us here. They ground us in a sense of place and reflect upon what makes living in Wisconsin so special. We have with us the brain trust behind this storytelling project on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's called Wisconsin Life, and it turns 10 years old this month. We'd love to hear your favorite stories of life in Wisconsin. Was there one that you heard that stays with you, you just can't shake? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. We have with us Erica Janik, co-creator and former executive director of Wisconsin Life. She's currently the executive producer of podcasts at New Hampshire Public Radio. Good morning, Erica. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
I'm so glad you're here with us. We also have Maureen McCollum, the current host and producer for Wisconsin Life. Welcome, Maureen.
Hey, Molly.
Good morning. Well, kudos to you both for 10 years on the air. So we just heard one of the earliest episodes of Wisconsin Life produced back in 2012. Erica, can you tell us how that story came about of hunting for watercress?
Yeah, it was wild for me to just listen to that. I had literally just learned how to use the recorder about 4 days before that story happened. And, you know, we had been looking to do a seasonal story. It was spring and, you know, foraging for fresh things that had just come up was on our mind. And I had reached out to Dani Lind. I knew her through the CSA that I belonged to at the time. And she very kindly agreed to take me out for several hours. We just tromped around her area near Soldiers Grove, and we found all kinds of things, not just watercress. But I remember I almost dropped the recorder in the stream. I literally barely knew what I was doing at the time. But it was a really lovely day. And, you know, just listening to it, I was brought back to that day. And just the connection I felt both with the idea of harvesting and looking for all of these delicious things that are just growing all around us, but also the connection that I made with Dani just in those hours that we spent together. It's really special. And yeah, it was fun to listen to that because I felt like I was right back there.
It gives you such a sense of place. It reminds me of doing the same thing on a friend's farm, hunting for watercress.
Absolutely, so
I wonder, what was the idea, the ambition for starting the project 10 years ago?
We were really thinking about how we could sound more like Wisconsin. Wisconsin beyond the headlines, Wisconsin beyond experts from the UW and government officials. Like, what does Wisconsin mean to the people who live there? What does Wisconsin mean to the people who are from there? That became a thing too over my time in charge of the project, was how many people who didn't live in Wisconsin anymore but still felt this extreme connection to the state. And so really, we just wanted to tell those stories. We wanted people to be able to, you know, through whatever story or whatever it was that meant something to them, to say, you know, this is my Wisconsin. This is what living here means to me, good or bad, really. And, you know, it's just an honor to get to hear these stories, get to be brought into people's lives. It was a really special time for me to work on that project.
And Maureen, you've been the host and producer of Wisconsin Life for about 3 years, coming to us from La Crosse, where you regularly contributed features. What drew you in?
Well, when I first got into radio, one of my driving, I guess, forces was just helping people understand one another through radio stories. And when I was a reporter in La Crosse, you know, I was reporting on everything Southwest Wisconsin. So like energy policy, politics, local happenings in the area. And, you know, I love reporting on the news, but when I got to do Wisconsin Life stories, it was a way to really like step back and look at, as Erica said, life going on around us, just sort of these everyday and really fun things that were happening. And so it was great because when I started as a reporter, it was kind of around the same time that Wisconsin Life started. So the first story I pitched to Erica was just about kayaking in the Mississippi River. And so it was my first time in a kayak. I thought I was going to tip over a few times. You know, I waterproofed like a microphone and I just went out and talked with people who love kayaking. And it just turned out to be a really beautiful story. I also, in the time I was in La Crosse, you know, covered the Westby ski jump and the Oktoberfest parade in La Crosse. So all these really important cultural moments that we're able to, you know, bring to the listeners of Wisconsin. Because if you live in Green Bay, maybe you've never heard of the Westby ski jump. So Wisconsin Life really provides this great window into what's going on in Wisconsin.
Well, I want to play a clip from another episode from 2016. This features Gary Brockman of Middleton and his love affair with buttons.
I've collected a lot of things across my life, but I can't think of another type of object that pulls together the loose threads of sociology and art history and material science and technology in such a complete way as buttons do.
Erica, I heard that that was actually one of your favorite episodes. Is this true?
That is absolutely true. I love Gary. I loved that story. I mean, I loved so many of the people that I talked to. I feel like part of the reason this one stuck with me so much and that I loved it so much is I thought it would be interesting. I'm the type of person who, you know, I love learning about something through the eyes of someone who loves it. And I often am, I'm also the type of person who 5 minutes into listening to a passionate person talk about their thing, I'm like, I want to do that too. But Gary, he came in and he brought, I don't even remember. I mean, he had like a cart just filled with buttons. And just listening to him talk about how you can see kind of the political and social history of humans through this object that I didn't really think all that much about was so fascinating to me. And I remember he showed us these buttons from the French Revolution that were political statements as well as, you know, utilitarian objects to keep your clothes together. I just learned so much from him. I think I talked to him for 2.5 hours for a 4-minute story. Okay. And I just thought it was fascinating and I've never forgotten it. I learned so much from him. And I think that that's representative of so many of these stories is that I learned so much from the people that I got to spend time with. People were so generous with sharing themselves and sharing their passions. I learned far more from all of the people that I talked to than certainly I taught them. I just loved working with him and hearing about why buttons are so important.
We're speaking with Erica Janik and Maureen McCollum of Wisconsin Life. I'm Molly Stentz. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're telling stories this hour. There's no campfire. There's no ghosts. But maybe you still have your pajamas on. I won't judge. We have with us Maureen McCollum and Erica Janik of Wisconsin Life. It's a storytelling project here on Wisconsin Public Radio that's a decade in the making. What story stands out to you about life in Wisconsin? Is it a particular food that reminds you of home? Maybe a favorite place or a song? Maybe you've got an idea for a story that needs to be told. Jump in here. We're at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Well, Maureen, I want to hear a clip from a more recent episode of Wisconsin Life about a 9-year-old named Kyrick and their lemonade business.
I wanted a bunny, and I can't have one. And I really wanted to do something good for, like, the homeless pets. And I just thought it would be nice to give them food.
I tell people all the time, it makes me feel so warm and fuzzy in the inside because she get it.
Maureen, you produced that episode, and that's a theme I've noticed you often incorporate children into your stories. What did you like about that story in particular?
Yes, one, there should be more youth on the radio overall, because kids are, like, adorable, and they're often more wise than us adults in many ways. But I produced that piece in particular because I had just, you know, I mean, it was 2020. Last year was awful, to say the least. And at one point, I was just online, and I had come across this 9-year-old girl who had a business called Keurig's Lemonade. I looked into it and realized that she was making lemonade, selling it, and giving most of the profits, like, back to her community. So I went and interviewed her and her mom, Nikki, who you hear in that clip, too. And just spending time with them brought me so much joy. And it was just such a happy afternoon, you know, in the midst of the pandemic when things were just really bleak and you didn't know what was going to be happening from one day to the next. And Keurig just had such a positive attitude and it just gave me a lot of hope and joy for the future. So it was just really nice being able to share her, like, passion and dedication to her community with the listeners.
And I feel like as journalists, that's something we hear so often, that often the news is unrelenting and often it's really hard to deal with. There's a lot going on in the world and people want stories of hope, of their neighbors working for solutions, of looking for even just little rays of light of things in their world, in their own backyard, that brings hope to their friends and neighbors.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course, it's incredibly important that we keep listeners up to date on the latest happenings with the pandemic and what's going on with the vaccine. Like, that is our job to do that. But we also need to remind people that the world is still turning and most of us are still living our everyday lives in these kind of normal ways. And, you know, and if people are trying to make a difference by selling lemonade, all the power to them. We should be talking about that too.
Well, Erica, I understand that sometimes people were almost reluctant to let you document their lives. How do you get people to tell you their stories?
Yeah, often I would reach out to people and they would say, but I'm not interesting. I don't have anything to say, or I can't tell you how many times I would arrive at someone's house or their place of work, depending on the story. And they would say, I mean, if this is terrible, like, you don't have to use it. It's no big deal. You know, and something I would tell people is, well, one, everyone has a story to tell. Everyone is interesting. And it's my job. I mean, really, I just saw my role as facilitating that and bringing out the wonderful things about each of these people. I wasn't there to, you know, catch them in some embarrassing moment. I was there to celebrate them. I was there to help them explain to the world why the thing they were interested in is awesome, or to help them. In some cases, I would have writers come in, people that had never read anything they wrote publicly, and they were reading it for the first time out loud in front of a microphone, just being really encouraging and giving people space and time. I never had anyone say no when I asked them. Certainly had people, you know, that I, again, had to keep talking up and saying, like, you are interesting. Like, I wouldn't have reached out to you otherwise. I promise you, you have something great to say and something great to share. And in all cases, that's true.
We're speaking with Erica Janik, co-creator and former executive director of Wisconsin Life. Maureen McCollum is currently the host and producer of Wisconsin Life. Maureen, I wonder how producing Wisconsin Life has changed how you think about Wisconsin.
I think it kind of goes off of what Erica just said, is that every single person in this state has something interesting to share, whether they have, like, a special talent or they just you know, like the rest of us get up every morning and go to work and come home and spend time with their family or spend time alone. Like, there is something interesting and worth sharing about that life. And there is beauty in everyone's story.
Yep.
You know, I have a story list right now that's about 150 ideas long. My problem is I don't have enough time to get to all these stories. And that's just the beginning of it.
And how
go ahead.
Yeah. How do you find people, or do people find you?
Well, I mean, when we're not in the pandemic, I'm just out and about talking with people. You know, I'll go to festivals or I'll go to meetings, and I go to a lot of live music. So I just meet people that way. I read a lot of things online. You know, I mean, it's just like, it's everywhere. There are so many stories. There's almost like too many stories.
Way too many stories.
How have you been able to continue through the pandemic where there aren't those events you mentioned?
Well, you know, I've been tapping into some of those ideas that I've had for a long time. And thank goodness for Zoom meetings, because we're able to record interviews over Zoom. Like, the quality is going to sound a little different, but I think it's more important to get the story out there than to have this pristine sounding interview. So we've been doing a lot of interviews, yeah, like via Zoom. You know, Erica created a lot of connections with writers across Wisconsin. I've been coaching them in how to record their essays from home, which is generally just taking like your smartphone and hiding in a closet surrounded by sweaters. So it's just, you know, it's just working with what we're getting, the situation we're in right now. Like, we're still making it work. We're still cranking out two stories a week. So,
well, Maureen McCollum, Erica Janik, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us, Molly. This was so fun.
And thank you for all of your stories throughout all of the years. Erica Janik is the co-creator and former executive director of Wisconsin Life. She's currently the executive producer of podcasts at New Hampshire Public Radio. Maureen McCollum is the current host and producer for Wisconsin Life. Just ahead, we brief you on what you need to know about today's impeachment trial. I'm Molly Stentz. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.